Shortlist. Un'opera, una storia. Picasso, Guernica, dal 1939 agli anni 50, dal 1985 al 2003. La storia di Guernica raccontata da Ivona Blazvic, direttrice della Whitechapel Gallery di Londra.
Well, in 1939, the Stepney Trade Union, which was the local communist party in East London, approached the Whitechapel Gallery about exhibiting a work by a young Spanish artist who wanted to raise consciousness about the Spanish Civil War and about what was happening with Franco. And at first the gallery declined, and then the union said, well, we will pay you 25 guineas, and they said, okay. So this young artist was Picasso, and the work was Guernica. And it was on display at the Whitechapel Gallery as part of a tour that the work made, a propaganda tour. And he invited people to come and talk and to have rallies in front of this painting. But also he asked that every visitor to the exhibition who could afford it donates a pair of boots. At the end of the exhibition there were 400 pairs of boots underneath the Guernica, which were then sent to the freedom fighters in Spain. So it's a very, very poignant political work. After many years and many attempts by successive directors of the Whitechapel Gallery to get Guernica back, an artist, Goshka Matsuga, succeeded where everyone else had failed. She discovered that in 1955, Picasso had made a tapestry commissioned by Nelson Rockefeller of the Guernica. Rockefeller had a project which was to bring modern art to the people of New York. And his idea was that the best way to do this was through tapestries. He already was aware of the fact that Picasso's paintings were very valuable, they couldn't be easily moved around, and he figured out that the tapestry was one of the oldest forms of public art. And so he approached Picasso and they made 16 different tapestries together. The tapestry was made by two weavers in Paris who'd lived through occupied France, and for them it was a labour of love. I think it was a great project. In 1985, his widow, Happy Rockefeller, said to the United Nations organisation, we donated the land for the UN building, and I would like to make another donation. I want you to hang the Guernica tapestry outside the Security Council chamber as a permanent deterrent to war. And so from 1985, the Picasso Guernica tapestry has hung outside the Security Council chamber. And Goshka had discovered this. She'd also remembered that in 2003, when Colin Powell announced the invasion of Iraq, he had to make the press announcement in front of the Guernica tapestry, and so he had it covered up with a blue cloth. So even 80 years later, this work still resonates. It's still provocative. It's still seen as too problematic, too potent to be able to announce war in front of it. Matsuga's practice is very much about looking at archives. She had discovered that the painting had been shown at the Whitechapel, that it had precipitated whole movements of activism around culture. And when we negotiated to bring the tapestry back, she created a table which mimics the Security Council chamber table. But within it, she had many, many archival documents to do with the history of the Guernica. And she animated this installation by insisting that any group who wanted to discuss the relationship between culture and politics should meet around this table on condition number one, that it was public, and number two, that we could record it. So for a whole year, the Guernica came alive again, not in the context of being in a formal museum, but in the context of a space of discussion. It was fantastic. We had, first of all, we even had people who'd seen it in 1939 as children, which was incredible. Very, very old people coming in and telling us, I saw it as a child. That was very moving. It was extraordinary. We had school children. We had lots of different activist groups around Stop the War Coalition, around the environment, feminism, all sorts of different issues. But we also had a group of young Bengali girls coming and talking about feminism. I mean, it was really became this extraordinary focus, a crucible for debate. And at present, we have all of these groups are on display. We have films and we have an archive of everything that they did on display for the public so that there is some record of this, and we will publish it as well. It's interesting that there is this turn at the beginning of the 20th century away from the glorification of war and the kind of notion of the epic history painting. It really changes first with futurism, where there is a kind of celebration in a way of the machine and of destruction, but then it changes, I think, with the advent of the First World War, where the trauma of the kind of death as well, an increasingly industrialized form of death brought from bombing, from the sky, of fragmented bodies, changed forever the relationship of art and war. And I don't think any single vanguard artist of the modernist artist, if you like, of the 20th century has had anything but a critical relationship to war. And we can see that from really 1917 onwards. And I think we see it in Dada, we see it in surrealism, we see it in, you know, just so many different depictions of war, of its horrors. And, of course, everybody can also evoke Goya in this. He's a constant presence in this, I think.
Radio Papesse.org